So good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dignity's 2024 half-year presentation. I'm Steve Long, CFO, and today I'll be providing a brief overview of our half-year performance before opening up for Q&A. To ask a question, there's a link in the chat function, which hopefully you can all see, and that will take you to Slido. And on there, you should be able to submit your questions. And when you do, if you could just ensure that you also add sort of your name and where you're from as well, please. And obviously, I'll look to cover as many of those on the call as we can today. And clearly, if there's any sort of points of detail, we can follow up sort of separately after the call as well. Okay. Right. So with that, let's get going. So look, I think we've made a really encouraging start to 2024, with EBITDA up 6% to £28.8 million, as our focus on costs starts to play into our results. Sorry, I'm just going to pause for a minute. There's a couple of hands up that I can see on the call. I don't think you're actually going to be able to share any messages through to me, but perhaps you can sort of put it into Slido, and then obviously if there's an issue or you need any support, we'll try and pick that up. So I think, as I said, our EBITDA is up 6% to £28.8 million as our focus on costs starts to play out into our results. And this improved performance comes against a backdrop of lower revenues driven by a lower death rate and funeral store closures as we progress our work on right-sizing the estate. We've had constructive conversations with the funeral plan trustees, and this has resulted in a further surplus release of £100 million in June, while continuing to leave the trusts very well capitalised. Our focus immediately turned to returning this cash to note holders as soon as practicable, and a tender process was launched and completed in July, with £65 million cash being returned to note holders, and the balance of the surplus released sort of largely being retained to cover associated taxes. A combination of the improved financial performance and revised lower debt servicing costs resulted in a pro forma covenant ratio of 1.6 times at the half year, a material improvement on recent history where equity cures had been required to meet covenant hurdles. It's really pleasing to be in this position today, but there remains a significant amount of work to sort of, you know, complete the turnaround and improve the performance of the business for the benefit of all customers and stakeholders, and this is absolutely top of our agenda. As noted previously, Zillah Bing-Thorne joined as Chief Executive in June and is set to work to define our strategic agenda, as well as strengthening the executive team through key hires such as Mike Seary, our new Chief Technology Officer, and Zach Sullivan, the MD of our funeral plan business. And I think it's fair to say that we're all really excited by the opportunities that are available to Dignity to become the UK's leading provider in the end-of-life market. I think finally on this slide, on the 18th of September, you'll have all seen that we issued an update to the market regarding the ongoing proposed refinancing of the notes. I think, as noted in the announcement, we've conducted a detailed review of the strategic options available to the group to effect the proposed refinancing. However, given current market conditions, the conclusion was reached that we no longer expect to be able to complete the proposed refinancing by the end of this year. So while the options expected to fall away at the end of the year, we will continue to evaluate the capital structure of the business to ensure it's appropriate and in the best interests of all of our stakeholders. Okay, so moving on to performance. I think you can see, look, the death rate was 6% lower this year at 322,000, and this was a key factor in revenue declining 7% to 140 million in the first half of 2024. But our focus on costs has resulted in a decline of around about 10% there to 112 million, giving an overall improvement in profitability of 6% to £28.8 million. And our attention now turns to embedding the operating changes that have supported these cost savings as volumes increase as we sort of move towards the seasonal winter peak. Trust surplus of £120 million was received in the first half of the year, this being £20 million referenced at the time of the full year results and a further £100 million in June, as I said earlier. I think as a result of that, net debt's improved to £419 million, albeit as at June, this including a bit of a timing benefit with regards to the settling of the tax due on the trust surplus release. Onto the next slide, obviously you can see we've sort of got the usual summary of divisional performance across funerals, crematoria, plans, and central costs. Starting with funerals, where volumes were 12% lower, and that's driven by a combination of the lower death rate and the closure of sort of, you know, effectively uneconomic branches in the network. Overall, however, sick revenue was only 6% lower at 95 million pounds, with price increases from last year mitigating sort of some of the impact of those lower volumes. I think as mentioned previously, our tighter cost control resulted in a 13 million pound improvement in the cost base despite the inflationary pressures. Overall, therefore, funeral EBITDA improved 7.4 million to 24 million pounds. In terms of the crematoria business, clearly volumes were also impacted by the lower death rate, alongside our sort of no longer operating the Stockport Crematorium on behalf of the local authority. Average revenues were supported by some price increases at the beginning of the year, reflecting the inflationary environment, albeit there's a sort of a marginal mix change towards direct cremations year-on-year, partly offset some of this. Overall, that resulted in the EBITDA reducing 2.9 million to 23.7 million pounds. Funeral plans, you can see there that sort of showing a loss of 4.1 million in the first half of the year. This is really a timing difference sort of in the recovery of costs from the funeral plan trusts, and I expect that position to improve into the second half. Lastly, central costs, as you can see, are sort of broadly stable year-on-year. Moving on to cash resources available to the security group on the next slide. Here I've sort of outlined how the consolidated cash position of sort of around about 200 million pounds translates into accessible cash. I think as you can see, 73.5 million pounds of this is held within the Funeral Plus plan trusts and does not form part of our day-to-day liquidity. Of the remaining cash that's held within the securitization trading group, 65 million pounds was returned to note holders in July through the tender process. There's around about 30 million pounds is required to be held to sort of settle tax liabilities, you know, predominantly associated with that trust surplus release. That leaves sort of another round about 30 million pounds, and I think you can see sort of 15 million pounds of that is sort of held sort of for day-to-day business operations, and the remainder kind of is held within the elective CapEx account. That can be used to either meet ongoing debt obligations, undertake further early redemptions of the notes, or be deployed as CapEx within the business. I think it's worth noting that we've got a, you know, a pretty significant CapEx agenda into next year. You know, that includes some investment to comply with the new mercury regulations in our crematoria, as well as sort of, you know, various other improvements to our estate as well. You know, we will be sort of, if you like, funding that through our freehold property disposal program, sort of on the back of those, you know, the closures in funeral operations, and we expect that to generate sort of 20 million-25 million pounds after taxes and fees. Okay, turning to capital and covenants. Obviously, the table on the left shows the gross and net debt position. You can see the underlying net debt improved, you know, due to that sort of utilization of trust surplus to return cash to note holders early. I think, as I said earlier, you know, we're absolutely sort of remain committed to ensuring that we've got an appropriate capital structure in place for the group. Sort of on the right-hand side of the page, sort of looking at the covenants, I think, you know, as you'd all expect, sort of the covenants have been observed sort of through the equity cures made sort of during the relevant period. On a pro forma basis, if we adjust for those sort of early repayments of 15.6 million pounds in June and the 67 million pounds of nominal in July from the tender, the covenant hurdle is observed without the need to include an equity cure. From in the appendix of the slide deck, and we'll make sure those slides are sort of available to everyone after the presentation. We've included a revised amortization interest schedule that reflects those prepayments against the A notes that have already been made. So on to the next page. I mean, this is just a bit of detail on sort of the consents, and I wasn't going to go through this in detail, as I'm sure you're all sort of aware from the updates sort of were given previously, that the first consent is now active, as sort of the 70 million was successfully returned to note holders. And I think, as I said earlier, we don't expect to be able to affect the proposed refinancing by the end of the year. Okay, so onto the final slides. Look, in summary, I think, you know, the business continues certainly to move in the right direction with sort of an improvement in both sort of operational and financial performance. And we've made sort of really good progress in addressing the capital structure through the early repayment of £82.6 million of the A notes as we look to address sort of the leverage in the group. I think looking into the second half of the year, look, our focus is on embedding the improvements made to the funeral division that have sort of driven those cost savings, as well as returning the crematoria business to growth through a bit of a focus on sort of direct cremation partnerships, as well as enhancing our memorials offering to customers. Look, I think that the death rate sort of does continue to be a little bit soft, as it has been in the first half, but notwithstanding that, you know, I'm really confident in the trajectory of the business for the full year and a continuation of the performance improvements that we've delivered in the first half. Okay, so that sort of concludes the presentation and the run through of the slides. So we will move on to Q&A. I'll probably just give everybody a couple of minutes to submit any questions onto Slido. And I think, as a reminder, you should all be able to access the link and the codes in the chat function on Teams. Okay, so the first question that's come in, unfortunately, I don't have the name against this one, so please do sort of note your name and where you're from in asking the question, please. The question is sort of, what cost of capital was offered to you on new refinancing, at what LTV, and when do you expect to be in a position to pay a dividend to your shareholders again? Look, I think in terms of sort of the consent and full repayment, look, I think, as we said, that we looked at, you know, a number of options to try and deliver that. And obviously, having sort of accessed the trust surplus and repaid £82.6 million, you know, we're in a much stronger position, given that we're now trading above sort of covenants without reliance on the equity cure. I think, look, it's probably really hard to make sort of the economics on a refinancing work at the moment. Obviously, you know, the coupon that we've got on the current debt, as you all know, is sort of pretty competitive relative to, relative to current prevailing rates in the market. What I would say is sort of the LTV and the margins that we looked at were probably fairly typical for infra type assets. And sort of hence that's why at this point sort of the economics just didn't stack up for us. Obviously the second question in relation to the dividend, I think sort of management and owners are absolutely aligned that our number one priority and focus is improving the business and investing in it at the moment. And that's our focus. And we sort of certainly haven't had any conversations about sort of taking capital out of the business at this point. Okay, so there's no further questions that have come through in the chat at the moment, so I'll just give it another minute or two. Okay, yeah, so another one come through. So can you confirm the expiry date for equity cures, i.e. when can you make further equity cures and don't expect to need any more? So I think so as a principal, Equitycure's sort of count for 4 quarters worth of tests. So obviously the most recent Equitycure that we made in quarter two this year in respect of quarter one will obviously count through until quarter one next year. So yeah, broadly sort of 12 months, if you like. I think, as I said earlier, if you adjust on a pro forma basis the LTM EBITDA against the covenant position after the £82.6 million repayments, you see that we're at 1.6x. So we are therefore already sort of ahead and not relying on Equitycures. And I'd expect to improve the performance of the business going forwards. Notwithstanding that, you know, we do have the flexibility to continue to make Equitycures if they are required. But being honest, given those factors I've just outlined, I don't expect to need to do that. Okay, so there's no further questions coming to the chat, also coming to Slido rather. Oh, actually, sorry, one more from Demetrius at Schroders. And to be fair, I think I'll probably just answer that one thing. I think the question was, when is the last quarter which allows you to do further Equitycures? I think, as I said, so the ones that we've got sort of count for 12 months from when they've gone in. And then we do have the ability to make additional Equitycures in future if they're required. But as I say, I'm not expecting to do that given sort of where we are against those covenants. Mathieu, just a question from you. So you've asked, can you provide additional color on the £74 million of cash needed for pre-need trusts? This compares to £10 million sort of 6 months ago. Yeah, I'm happy to provide a bit of extra color on that. I mean, so the vast majority of that cash relates to the UK Funerals 2022 Trust. And that's obviously the trust that was set up to take new business under the new regulations from July last year. So relatively new and sort of new assets coming into that trust. We've been working with the trustees to effectively agree the strategic asset allocation and get all of that invested. So there's a bit of a timing difference with that having sat in cash, but then that now has been fully invested, so you won't see that in the go-forward position. Just come through from Ayla asking sort of about sort of our sort of and I guess our positioning against the competitors. So obviously sort of very, very broad question. I think what I'd say to that at this point is hopefully I've been sort of pretty clear what our sort of focus is within the business in terms of sort of continuing to drive the performance improvement. We're confident that's going to sort of further improve the operations and the financials of the business, and that's sort of where our focus is at the moment. I think you've also asked about dividend distribution policy, and I think, as I said earlier, at the moment, our focus is on improving performance and investing in the business. So, you know, dividend just isn't part of the conversation at the moment. Yeah, and one just come through from Dimitri asking about sort of like-for-like market share in funerals and cremes, excluding the closures. And I think that, you know, shares probably come off ever so slightly. You know, probably as you'd expect, sort of the program we've been through does create a little bit of disruption for the business, but sort of certainly nothing material. And obviously, sort of having made those operating model changes and embedded the cost savings, obviously that will give us a platform to then sort of return the business to growth on the back of. And I think I touched on cremes earlier in terms of sort of the direct cremation piece that we're looking to push in the second half of the year.
particularly given that that's something where, you know, given our national footprint, I think we under-index on versus where we should be in the market. I think the last question, do you need to come back to bondholders if another equity cure is needed in 2025? And I think the answer to that is no. The sort of the consents that were agreed previously give us the ability to make future equity cures if we need to. I think the terms of that were three over a 5-year period. So. Okay, all right. So there's no further questions in the chat. So I think we'll probably draw the call to a close there. Thank you very much for joining, and thank you for the questions. You'll be able to pick up the slides via the website shortly, and obviously very happy to follow up, you know, separately with anyone if there's any sort of further questions or points of detail. Okay, thanks very much, everybody. Bye-bye.